Greetings in the precious name of Jesus to you all this morning. I do rejoice in this day and do rejoice to be here with you all. If you could get my dad a mic and ask dad if you'd be willing to ask the Lord's blessing here at this time and pray for me that the Lord's will would be done and that Christ may be exalted. So let us rise to our feet if we would.
Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this privilege that we have. Again, that we can gather in your name this morning. We thank you for the freedom we have, Lord, that we can do this. Father, we just pray, Lord, that we look to you today and we pray, Father, for that you would get all honor and glory today, Lord. Mm-hmm. We pray for Reuben today as he preaches from your word, Lord. We just pray that you would anoint him with thy spirit, guide and lead and bless and keep him. We thank you, Lord, once again for the freedom we have. We just pray that we use this freedom that we have for your honor and glory, Lord. Father, we just magnify and exalt and praise and lift up thy name this morning, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, once again, Lord. We heard already, Father, about the needs in our lives, Lord. You know every heart here this morning, Lord. You know my need as a father in a home. You know the needs of every soul here today, Lord. And we just look to you that this could be filled and that we could receive this word that you have for us today, Lord. And that we can grow and be righteous, Lord, in your eyes, Lord. And we thank you. We just commit this time, this meeting that we have here, this worship, we just commit it into your hands. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer. I thank you, Brother Allen, for the thoughts that you had. It's very good for me, and some of the thoughts that I'd like to share are down the same line. For our text this morning, if we'd open our Bible to Genesis 6. And try to learn and glean a few things about the life of Noah. I will just go through and read the entire chapter 6 there in Genesis. And as we move along more towards the center of the chapter, let's pay attention to Noah and God's relationship. Okay, let's begin here in verse 1, Genesis 6. And it came to pass when men begin to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all that, of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark. In a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come in the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt them thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt come. And thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So, the burden on my heart this morning is as we go through life, and especially us fathers, mostly it's a burden for myself and our family, and needs that I've seen in my own life. Of desiring to walk with God, and how to do that in every day, and to walk with my wife and family, to walk with my brothers. As we consider Noah's life here, you know, God had created the earth and all that was therein, the animals and the fish of the sea, and so he came. He said he repented that and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So then he came to Noah. And Noah didn't know that God was going to come to him, that I'm aware of. And he came to Noah with this quite enormous task. is what I would consider. I mean, it's not a small thing for what he was asking of him. And it said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it goes on to say that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah's, what it really stood out to me, how Noah said it says that Noah, so all that God commanded Noah, so did he. As God asked him, and I can just kind of picture, picture myself in Noah's shoes, and, you know, he comes to his family about this, and, you know, has never rained at this point, and God said, yeah, we're going to destroy the earth with rain, It's amazing that the walk that God, that Noah had with God, that he believed him and he received it and he put it into action, and that he was able to convince his family and his boys and their wives all went with him in the ark. So it seems his depth of, he had a fairly deep walk with God. That it says he walked with God. So as I consider my own life and each one of us brothers here and our families, let's consider that we could be building an ark, and we are all building an ark. We could say a spiritual ark, as far as we're endeavoring to teach and to train and to communicate God's word, God's principles, the life of God into our hearts and to our dear ones, that will carry us and that will endure presently, and that will bring heaven to earth as we are called to, and that we can spend eternity with God and with all of our dear ones and with all your brothers. So here we are, and things are fairly similar to what they were in Noah's time, from what I understand. It says, so shall it be in the days of Christ. I forget the exact words, how it words it, but it should be the same way presently when Christ returns as it was in the days of Noah. And so things are quite similar, I believe, here for us, and we are all building an ark in a way, and will I be able to take my family along? Will they be convinced of my life, of the decisions I've made, of the convictions that I try to communicate to them. A quote here by Hudson Taylor, God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow Him. And it seems like it comes down to that a lot of the times is, am I willing to follow Him? So as we consider Noah's life here, as I said, Noah found grace in the sight of God there in verse 8. And I'd like to put my name, take Noah's name out and put my name there. And presently, today, am I finding grace in the sight of God? Am I finding favor in Him? I want this very much to be an encouragement and a blessing to you all. It's not something heavy at all for me, and I want to try to do my best to communicate it in that light. It's very exciting. As our the opportunities that we have here to serve the Lord. And I guess it's my heart that I do it with a vision and with purpose. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Walking with God in an open, free-flowing relationship makes you picture the hand-in-hand type relationship. You could think of our children as we walk hand-in-hand, or our wife or husband, and the relationship that God, that we can have in that way. That we're very open with one another, ready to receive input and instruction. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So Noah, some of the characteristics in his life. Noah had a fear and a reverence for God. Because for God to come to him and just say, here, it's never rained, but I would like you to build an ark, and I'm going to bring rain, and we're going to, there's going to be a flood over all the earth, and everything's going to die, and you and your son, your wife and your sons and their wives are going to go with you. So he truly feared God to take action in that way, and had a reverence for him. Noah must have valued authority to just come and interrupt his life in that way and ask him to take on that task. If he wouldn't have valued authority, he would have rejected it, wouldn't he? I mean, why would he have taken action then? Noah must have treated other people with love and respect. And the reason why I think of that is all his children, his wife, and their wives went with him. So if they were on the task, which the boys, Noah's boys were born when he was 500 years old, and then the flood came when he was 600 years old. And so in between there, he built the ark. There's not exactly real sure exactly how long, and some of you brothers might know better than I do how long it exactly took. Some say between around 50 to 75 years, but yeah, it was between that 500 to 600 span, from what I understand. And so it took a while, and I'm sure he had quite a vision to put this to work. And so I picture him working alongside there with his family. I'm sure he needed help to build this ark. And I don't know how many people would have helped him if they wouldn't have believed in what he was doing. I mean, I find it normally that way. If you're not convinced someone what you're doing is right and godly, or however, they're not going to help you too quick. So yeah, the people looking on probably didn't help a whole lot. Maybe hindered it more than helped. And so here you have him working along with his boys, and through it all, through all the struggles that I'm sure they had building the ark, and they got it finished, and his boys were willing to go with him on the ark. So that tells me he truly did walk with God, like scriptures say. He truly did know God, if he was able to walk in that manner and keeping their love and respect all those years. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So he was moved with fear, and he built an ark. So I had to think of myself today. Am I seeing things by faith? And am I being moved by fear to take action today for myself and my family and all you brothers and your families? Are we looking ahead by faith and making choices and decisions today to affect the future? And how can I see those things by faith? It is not of myself, but it truly would be a gift of God. It would be walking with God. Yeah, Noah's leadership in taking on that task to save his household and to follow God's command truly blesses me very much. First Peter 3:20, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. Excuse me. So Noah obviously had a vision to, and he obviously had quite a few gifts, along with walking with God, to be able to, in that time, build that ark. And he, It speaks also of consistency and persistence. That he continued on the many years. And I'm sure it wasn't easy with the onlookers and things that he may have faced. With it never being having rained, and he was here building a boat. You know, we think we sometimes get mocked at a bit and some of those things, and we stand out a little bit, or we are a little odd. But that would have looked real odd, don't you think? I mean, building an ark, a big boat, not a canoe, but a real big ship, and has never rained. Would I be willing to take on that task? Would I be willing to stick my neck out in that way and to make myself that vulnerable for the cause for Christ? Noah was willing to give himself for others, his time and resources for building the ark. I had to imagine he must have, I don't know, I shouldn't say that he must have, but he could have thought, you know, there's many other things that he could be doing. And wondering, is this really worth it? You know, am I really, it seems like there's something more viable I could have been doing, but probably what kept on moving him, knowing that it was the will of God. And we all realize and confess that we feel the same way in our lives as we read God's word and he speaks, that's what drives us and brings forth fruit in our lives, is knowing it is for him, it is for his purposes. A scripture here in Luke 17 that I came across that blessed me. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I throw not. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which it was our duty to do. So that blessed me how I considered it is truly our duty in a lot of the commandments, but we should do them with joy and thankfulness. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That was a Luke 17, 26 through 30. So as God dried up the land, and the ark was able to come to a rest, it says Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, every after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. I guess what stood out to me is he built an altar, and he offered up sacrifices. And through that, there in verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. I know we're not offering sacrifices anymore, but we still can understand the need for the Lord to smell a sweet savor from our lives today. And it just stood out to me as Noah made it through, him and his family, that he was diligent in thanking the Lord. Thanking the Lord for bringing him through. And Noah walked with God. So the need for me, for Reuben to walk with God today, and for all of us, is very great as we endeavor to do His will, to lead our families in the path of righteousness, to build up the kingdom here. Because I have to understand that all good things come from the Lord. So no good thing is of myself. So I need to continue to walk with God, to continue to receive of those good things. And most importantly, of righteousness and holiness, which is, as we all know, is not of ourselves, but is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. To us fathers, are we building an ark for our family? Like I said earlier, am I building in a way that they will receive what I'm trying to teach them, and that they will receive it in and they will live according to that way, and that it will carry us through and carry them through life to bring heaven to earth and to continue to worship God throughout all eternity? Am I building in that way? As I go to teach my family, am I leading and teaching by example in godliness and righteousness as Noah did? Are we teaching them godly values that will endure and carry them safely into eternity with the Lord? Another aspect of Noah's walk with God, I was blessed about his wife. It doesn't say a whole lot about her. But it says she went with him. So that speaks a lot to me. Speaks of submission to her husband, to God. Because obviously this all came from God. This request came from God and trickled down from there. So as we're endeavoring to build a spiritual ark that will carry us and our families safely. Our wives play a very big role. You play a very big role in the effectiveness of us together teaching godliness to our children. Excuse me here. Your faithfulness in ministering to our children when we're off to work or are not present in the home is very much appreciated. Reading and teaching them godly values, showing them the great love and power of God. Your support and reassurance is very much needed as we endeavor to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our wives, they're truly very much needed in our lives, in my life. So what I'm trying to make clear is I'm trying to put ourselves in Noah's shoes. And he's presently building his ark, and so are we. And we only have so long to build. And then the flood comes. And will our children want to get in the ark with us? And this entails every day of my life. It entails every part of my life, and we're every minute we're building in one way or the other. And everyone plays a big role. Our wives' long hours up with a teething baby, wiping little ones' tears, making meals, doing laundry. It's very much appreciated, and it's all in helping us to endure to the end. All in God's vision to carry us through, to spend eternity with Him. It is all part of the kingdom of God. And our children and young people, you truly can help in building this ark. If you're willing to learn and to be teachable, that will make you so much more helpful in building the ark. And that's for myself. It just amazes me over and over. As we think about even an employee, sometimes people that you may go to employ and they may know something about what you do, may have some history in what you are doing and manufacturing or whatever it may be, and that can be beneficial. But the key is if I'm teachable. If I'm not teachable, I'm not very useful. And that's in the practical physical manner and also spiritually. Teachable from your brothers and with God, that my heart would be open and soft in a way that I could receive instruction. As we know, if we're not teachable, it will not go well long term if I continue in that path. Another thing you have to think of is so Noah did all that God commanded him. And so even if I would just take the word of God, I shouldn't say just, but just take the word of God, am I doing all that God has commanded me in the word of God? What I can read and I clearly know, is Reuben doing all that God has commanded him in his written word? And it's, like I said, it's not with drudgery or anything, but it's that with joy I may delight in his law. I had a scripture here. If I can find it here, that I came across yesterday. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. Wow, that is a mouthful, isn't it? Give me understanding. Can you sense his heart to learn there? Can you... This is in Psalm 119, verse 73. He yearns for understanding so he can apply. That I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. I take much security, much comfort in knowing that we are called to walk with a God that has made us. That truly, truly is very precious, that He has made us and fashioned us, and He knows us like no one else does. And I mean, completely one end through the other, our physical bodies, emotionally, spiritually, He knows us very well. And the freedom in just coming to Him in that way and pouring our hearts out to Him. The things that we may be struggling with and knowing that He has made us and fashioned us. It's truly very comforting. And much security there. building us a spiritual ark that contains deep godly values that brings heaven to earth and carries us safely in eternity to continue to worship God. So as I was thinking, so we consider our own personal lives, we consider our family as we endeavor to build this spiritual ark. And then I had to think of the brotherhood. And what am I doing to help build in a way that will carry us all through as a brotherhood? Am I willing to hold the other end of the board and help drive in nails? Or will I just kind of stand back and kind of put my foot out to try to trip brothers up from building? Am I willing to do my part and to build here in the brotherhood? Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Thinking beyond myself and make straight paths for your feet. Am I desiring to make straight paths for you, brothers? You know, am I trying to bring the valleys up and bring the hills down to try to make it easier for you, brothers, that we all can continue to grow in the Lord? Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. It speaks of the faithfulness of God, the dependability of God. And like I said earlier, that all good things are from Him. It's nothing of ourselves. A quote here by Hudson Taylor: the real secret of an unsatisfied life lies too often in an unsurrendered will. Isn't that true? If we feel unsatisfied, maybe it's an unsurrendered will in my life. If we can surrender that, the freedom that it brings to our life. God may not change a whole lot right then, but He's wanting us to, first of all, surrender to Him. So like I said, my desire is, it's not like we as a family have it all together at all. These are just some things that are going through my mind and desiring to grow and endeavor to be faithful in doing and fulfilling the role that God has called us to. In Hebrews 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So yes, let us draw near with a true heart. Draw near to God and to one another with a true heart, without hypocrisy. And the verse that really blesses me over and over: let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. You know, there's, as we all understand, there's no law, there's no limit to good works. And as we endeavor to follow the Lord and to bring forth fruit, the good works come. And I am very blessed by you, brothers, and how you all challenge me in that way to continue on to serve the Lord. And it's, we don't realize the effect that we have on one another in that way. As if we grow cold and lax, and the fruit isn't coming from my life how it should be, it affects those around me. Because as it says here, it provokes each other to love and good works. It doesn't stop at myself in that way. So that's about all that I have. I'm very thankful. We as a family are very thankful for each one of you. You definitely mean a lot. A lot to all of to us. You all do. And we're very thankful and blessed with your lives and your input in our lives. And one thing that the Lord has reminded me of lately also is just the need for one another. We truly need each other. And if I think of trying to serve God with myself or just our family, we truly would be missing a big, fuller presentation of Him if it'd be just us. So we're very thankful for each one, and Lord bless each one.